Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at Timber Ridge Christian Church. Glad to see everyone out here and see all your smiling faces. And for those that have masks on, I can just see you're smiling through your eyes, so don't feel bad. Welcome to everyone who's here. Lots of kind of announcements this morning, especially when we get to our prayer list. Just regular announcements. There are our brand new upper rooms in Daily Bread. They're in the back here on the table. There are some more across the way. So grab those on your way out. We've got a huge bunch of praises going on. The West Virginia schools have decided to reopen on September 8th, so that's a huge praise. September 8th, they're going to do that. That is also Doris Spade's birthday, September 8th, so if you think about sending her a card, that would be great. Let's not forget, it's Natalie's 90th birthday this coming Friday. Natalie's 90th birthday. So if you think about sending her a card, I'm sure she'd appreciate that also. Like I said, lots of praises. Phil Whitaker got a diagnosis of 5 years cancer-free, and as he put it this morning, so they set him free. So that's just such a great praise, Phil, that you're cancer-free. That's awesome. God has been certainly faithful to you. That's awesome. Donna got a job with Legacy, so she was been working to get this job for the last couple of weeks, and she was just really excited about that the Lord is just, you know, graciously providing for her, and of course she loves to teach, so that's good. That's good news too. Let me see. Cindy Campbell on our prayer list had ankle surgery again. They think they finally have the issue fixed, and so she's slowly on the recovery. It sounded like she was just not even going to be on crutches, she's just going to be wearing a boot. So hopefully she's already in her boot by now, although maybe that doesn't start till tomorrow. She had to wait 3 days. Surgery is Thursday. Yeah, so maybe tomorrow she starts wearing her boot. But anyways, she's recovering, so just continue to lift her up. As you can imagine, just be kind of being not as mobile as you'd like to be is difficult, especially it's been a long road here with her ankle. Harry, of course, is recovering now from what he learned this week was diverticulitis, and so they put an antibiotic, and he's finally starting to feel a little bit better. So we're glad to hear that, Harry. Greg Kenny's continuing to have some back problems, and of course, Kay Klein's surgery. Kay, your ear's healing fine, so that's another praise. And we do have a couple just to add on here. Anthony Voigt is a 17-year-old Hampshire County high school student, and just diagnosed with lymphoma this week. So he's down in the hospital trying to ascertain his situation right now. So just lift up Anthony and his family as they deal with this unexpected diagnosis in his life, especially here just before school starts. It's quite a shock. And also Noah Walker is working on getting some more employment for, upcoming work and stuff. And, he's been praying that the Lord would be providing him with this job opportunity. So just pray for Noah's faith and for the Lord to bless him as he's working to move into adulthood and make his own way. So lift up Noah this week as he is waiting word on job opportunities. That is all I have. Does anybody else have any announcements that we might have missed?
My sister-in-law, Carol, had a stroke this week, and she's back home now, but not doing very well. She's paralyzed on one side. Of course, she's 93 years old.
Okay, and so still paralyzed on one side, okay. Anything else? Okay.
Update on my son Randy. They have had some 4 or 5 people come look at their house since they got it on the market. He is working. Things are going much better. And thanks for all the prayers.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's been a long road for Randy too, but things are starting to look better, so that's good. Yeah, that's a great update. Oh, yeah, for our kids are starting back to school tomorrow, so I'm not sure Legacy is, and Lori's going to be teaching tomorrow, and Legacy is next week, You don't know.
They start after Labor Day.
After Labor Day, because they start the 8th. Eukarya starts tomorrow, and I think most of, it sounds like a lot of the Virginia schools have also postponed some of their openings. I don't know if you know, because you're in Loudoun now, right? So Loudoun's all virtual, right, Carol?
Virtual, but we were told that we will be back in
Okay, good. All right. So I think when we get to our prayer time today, that's what we'll focus on. We'll focus on this idea of, you know, our students are going back to school. Of course, some of the colleges have already returned. Seth is already at Grove City. Lisa's already at Potomac State. Amy is already at WVU this year. I'm looking for Roland. Oh, there he is. Right, and she's going into WVU now as a sophomore, a junior?
Junior.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember. So, yeah. So everybody's getting started up.
May I ask Mike where Ginger and Al are?
Ginger and Al were on vacation. Last week they were out of power. Right, their power went out for some strange reason, so they missed last week. But then they were on vacation this past week, and they're actually on their way back today. So they should be here next week, yeah. Yeah, it is nice to see. Nice to see your mom. It's nice to see you. Welcome. we've been getting updates, but yeah, it's very nice to see you, Jerry. All right, anything else?
Mike, I just want to tell you about Ronnie Conway. I'm putting on prayer list. He's already on here. That's Ricky's father. He's in the hospital in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and he still is on the respirator, and they put a pacemaker in his heart, so I'm not sure. Just keep him in your prayers. They thought about trying to take him off the respirator today.
Okay, so they did get the pacemaker in, though. That's probably actually good news. Yeah, that they're able to.
He did come out of the coma, and could, I don't think he can talk with the respirator.
Right, right. He can respond.
Okay,
well, that's good news that they were able to implant the pacemaker, so I know he needed that.
If you would, pray for Lucy. Right now, she's been having stomach problems. She had a CT scan last Monday, and they can't see the cause of the problem. They're out of the problem.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so pray that the doctors would be able to diagnose what the issue is. That's great. Yeah, thanks for updating us. That's what we should be praying for, right? That the doctors could have wisdom. The Lord is able to reveal secrets. So, anything else? Well, that's good. You have lots of work to do this week when you think about it. When you're driving in your car, you know, you're sitting down for a quiet moment, just, you know, have one of these, just one of these things come to your mind and pray for it. That would be great. By the way, it's nice to see you, Mel and Carol, so you know. All right, well, let's stand together. It's just so good to fellowship, to see people coming to church, and to be ready to worship. So let's stand together. The Lord longs for us to be in His presence. Hear the Lord call you to worship Him from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come into Your presence acknowledging the splendor of Your holiness, for You are high and lifted up. We long to be near You, Lord, to see Your glory, to experience Your love and Your mercy and Your great power. So accept our worship, Lord, through the blood of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. We'll grab your hymnals. We're going to open this morning singing hymn number 246, We're Marching to Zion. That's our destination, 246. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Tom Jenkins to come and grab the microphone and move it out here, Tom. Sorry I didn't move it out for you earlier. And read Revelation chapter 1, the first 8 verses. It's found in page 1218 of your Bible. Revelation, the last book. If you have your own Bible, just find the very last book. Go to the first chapter. We're going to read the first 8 verses. I chose this passage because, again, he's talking about Zion. You know, what a great opening hymn. It's talking about Zion and the ushering in of heaven. And what we'll see here is that we find out that that he is coming on the clouds, which is also something we'll see in Daniel chapter 8. So, Tom.
Good morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of his prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the times is near. John, to the 7 churches are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of earth will wail on account of him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
This is a great reminder in the book of Revelation that we have an advantage over Daniel because we know that it's Jesus that's coming on the clouds. When we get to Daniel, we'll have to remember that Daniel sees this one like the Son of Man coming, but doesn't know who he is. Well, we'll get there in a minute. Now let's stand together and sing hymn number 363, Near to the Heart of God. As God calls us into his presence, he longs for us to be near to him. Let's stand, 363.
Thank you.
we go to the Lord in prayer, since school is beginning for so many students and teachers, let's lift them up and pray that the Lord would be for them. The Lord would be with them. The Lord would go with them and surround them with wisdom and love. Let's pray. Lord, there is much to pray about, but this time of year we think of our students and our teachers. Lord, we know that you would have wisdom reign in the world against folly. We're learning that in the book of Proverbs. Lord, we lift up our students to you, you who reign over the earth, you who reign over the universe, you who reign over every heart of every teacher, every heart of every student. Lord, we pray that you would show forth your glory in our education, not just here in our country, but abroad, Lord. We pray that you would show forth your glory in education. But Lord, we do pray especially for our country right now as students return, as teachers return. Lord, we pray that you would be working in the lives of teachers, that they would stand against secularism, Lord, and stand for truth. Lord, we're not afraid of debate as Christians, and so we pray, Lord, that there would be honest, open discussion of truth in schools, honest, open discussion of science, honest, open discussion of philosophy, honest, open discussion of what is right and what is wrong and how we know. Lord, we pray for that. We know that's a tall order in America right now, but Lord, we know you are able. And we know that maybe even through this pandemic, you're opening up possibilities for that type of discussion to take place. Lord, we lift up the hearts of students, many of them apprehensive and anxious, even maybe fearful, Lord, about their upcoming academic year, not knowing, Lord, exactly what it's going to look like or how it's going to turn out. So, Lord, we pray that you would be coming alongside these students and showing your glory by calming their anxiety, by showing them that all things can be done and be done well in all sorts of different situations, and that with the hard work and perseverance, Lord, that they too can learn even in the hardest of circumstances. And so, Lord, we lift up the students. We pray, Lord, that you would be turning their hearts to you also by revealing to them wisdom and truth and an understanding of the way the world works that would honor you. Lord, we pray specifically against much that is not actually instruction, but just indoctrination. We pray, Lord, that you would weed that out of their education and open their eyes to honest debate. Again, Lord, we're not asking for only Christian facts to be presented, but we're asking, Lord, for honest and open discussion of truth so that everyone can move forward. Lord, we do believe that the truth will prevail. So we pray that the truth would be in our education system in a way that makes it viable for students to have open discussion about different ideas. Lord, lots of other stuff going on. We pray for these in our prayer list. We pray, first praise you for those that are just receiving great reports this week. So we think of Phil and his being cancer-free. We think of Kay and her healing of her surgery, and Cindy, Lord, and the fact that Harry is recovering. Lord, these are all great answers to our prayer, and so we thank you for those. But Lord, there are many others that are still waiting answers or are still beginning to ask. And so we think of Anthony and Noah. And Lord, we think of Carol. Randy continuing to struggle with just some life issues, and for Greg and his back pain, Lord. And all of these things, we lift these people up to you. You have answered in the past. We know you will answer in the future. We put them into your hands, knowing, Lord, that you are a loving Father that is working for their good. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see that, and hearts to believe it and mouths to proclaim your goodness, even in the midst of this suffering. Lord, in all these things, we'll honor you with what happens. We'll trust you with what happens. We'll rejoice in you through what happens, Lord. Whether we see it as good or bad, we know that that you are in charge and you have a purpose for all things. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us to live, Lord, our life as the light of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this would be a time when we would normally accept our offering, but we'll again put the plate in the back and you can drop your offering in on the way out. We're going to take a moment now. Ruby's going to play us the music. Just take a moment here to reflect on God's provision, reflect on God's forgiveness, reflect on God's goodness. And then at the end of that, we'll close reciting the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll sing the doxology. Let's stand together and recite the Lord's Prayer as the Lord taught his disciples, and then we'll close with the doxology. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here. Lord, we thank you for all your provision, both for today's provision and for yesterday's provision, and the provision we know you're going to give us this next week. Lord, you're so gracious, and so we bring this portion back to you and give it to you for your use, Lord. With cheerful hearts, we do this and ask you to use it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, grab your Bibles. We're in the book of Daniel still. I guess I should turn there myself. Daniel chapter 8. The Pew Bible page is 885. 885. Daniel chapter 8. So go into the prophets section of your Bible. If you find Psalms and Proverbs, start moving to the right. You'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And you should run into Daniel. Daniel chapter 8. Last week we spoke about how sometimes right in the middle of a story you have to say, hey, wait, let me back up a little bit. Right? And you do that because you have to fill them in on something that happened in the past because it affects the current story. Right? And so we saw Daniel back up in some sense when we got to chapter 7 and say, oh, wait, let me tell you about some other visions I had back in the day. Right? This week, we're going to see Daniel continue that story, that backward story of some other dreams, visions that happen. But there's also this another amazing thing happening here. We're going to see that the revelation of this dream is based upon future events. You know, it's like Daniel's now being told through his dream back then, hey, wait a minute, let me jump forward so you can see what I'm talking about. Right? God is not saying, hey, let me back up. God is saying, hey, let me jump forward. And God is going to reveal what happens in the future. And of course, only God can say, hey, wait a minute, let me tell you what's going to happen. Right? Only God can do that. And guess what? This stuff we're going to see here in Daniel chapter 8 did happen. Daniel's future is our past. Right? Daniel's future is our past. We know that from history. We know that these things Daniel prophesied in this vision, that he saw in this vision, took place. Daniel lived from 605 BC to 562 BC, right? And his vision came to pass during the reign, and his vision, right, that he had during that time actually came to pass during the reign of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great lived from 356 BC to 323 BC. So there's 200 years between the vision Daniel had and seeing it actually come to pass, but it did come to pass. So let's pray this morning that the Lord would give us eyes to see this patient approach that the Lord has towards the world events. Right? The Lord is not slow. I mean, not fast, but he's slow to work things out. Let's pray that the Lord would give us eyes to see that. Lord, we do pray that as we think about this idea of the future, even in our present, as we think about how sometimes the wheels of time and change, at least change that we would like to see, seems to grind so slowly, we pray, Lord, that we would be mindful that you are slow to work sometimes, but always purposeful. Slow to work sometimes, Lord, but always powerful. Slow to work sometimes, Lord, but you do have a plan. Help us to see that plan and to see and to find our place in that plan, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a man was driving in the countryside one day, and he saw an older man sitting on a fence rail. This guy was just watching the cars go by. So he pulled over to pass some of the time of the day. And he says to this older man, I never could stand living out here. You don't see anything, and I'm sure you don't travel like I do. I'm on the go all the time. Well, the older man said, well, I can't see there's much difference between what I'm doing and what you're doing. I sit on the fence and watch the cars go by. And you sit in your car and you watch the fence go by. It's just the way you look at things, isn't it? There's some wisdom in that, isn't there? There's a little bit of wisdom there. Perspective can make all the difference, right? And it makes a huge difference for Daniel, and it should make a huge difference for us, perspective. In some ways, right, God is giving Daniel insight into the future. God's giving Daniel insight into the future so that Daniel can glorify God in the present. Right? He wants Daniel to glorify him in the present, but there's going to be some strange things happening in the future, and Daniel needs to be ready for those. This morning, I think we need to hear that same message, as we too are always looking for the future, right? We're always moving towards the future. And the reason we need that same message is so that we can live in the present. Right? So that we can glorify God in the present like Daniel by knowing what the future holds. So this morning I'm really just going to preach from this theme that God controls the future no matter what it looks like now. Right? God controls the future no matter what it looks like now. And I believe there's three things in this passage that prove that is true. First, the beast from last week that came out of the raging sea in chapter 7. Right here in chapter 8, they're not beasts, they're not monsters, they're just farm animals. Okay? And I believe that proves that God has a different perspective than we do on things. Right? The earthly kingdoms that we see in all of these visions, right? We're going to be shown that they're not permanent in chapter 8. They're only temporary. They're not permanent. They're only temporary. God has a different perspective on the kingdoms of the earth than we do. Finally, we're going to see that the earthly kings are not victorious, right? But they are certainly conquered. And I think all of that proves that God is in control of the future, no matter what it looks like now. So let's go into the first heading. What's going on right now is there's not monsters, they're just farm animals. Let's read the first four verses of Daniel chapter 8. Now, I'm going to do this in a little different format because what happens is Daniel reveals his vision in these first verses, and then in the latter part of the chapter, the angel comes and reveals what's going on. But that makes it really confusing, I think. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the little piece of the vision, and then we're going to move down, like here we're going to read 1 through 4, and then we're going to read 15 through 20. So we can read the vision, and then we can read the interpretation of the vision, and then talk about that together so we'll all be on the same page. So the first four verses. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was at the Ulai Canal. I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of the canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging westward and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. Now drop down to verse 15 through 20. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end. And when he had spoken to me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand up. He said, behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation, for it refers to the appointed time of the end. As for the ram that you saw with the two horns, these are the kings of Media and Persia. I'm going to stop there. Just realized I don't want to go to 21 yet. So Media and Persia. So we're told exactly right up front who these animals represent. Now again, last week we saw that Daniel had this vision of beasts coming up out of the sea. The fourth one, terrifying and destructive. This week here in Daniel 8, we see the same kingdoms represented from a different perspective, from God's perspective. And to God, these kingdoms aren't big, scary monsters coming out of the sea, right? No, they're just farm animals. Just farm animals. And to the great shepherd, right? He is in control of farm animals. Now again, this is just a vision, right? It's just a dream. And the ram is clearly interpreted as not a ram, but representing the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. With the Persians, of course, being the greater of the two, represented by the one horn that was taller. And the ram was great during its reign of power, right? This ram, this Mede-Persian conglomerate was great, running to the west and to the north and to the south. No other kingdom could withstand it. All true in history. But remember, the ram is just a farm animal, right? From God's perspective. It's just a farm animal. No matter how vicious he seems, and we all know some rams can be vicious, no matter how powerful this ram appears, to the good shepherd, the ram poses no threat whatsoever, right? The good shepherd knows how to deal with the ram. It's just a farm animal. And that's true here because God knows the future, no matter what it looks like right now. He sees the ram. He knows what's the ram doing, but he knows what will happen to the ram in the future. Now, we all know the saying that hindsight's 20/20, right? Right? We also know that hindsight doesn't cover the future, right? That's why it's called hindsight. Only the past. In fact, when we talk about the future, we almost always say the future is uncertain, right? The future is uncertain. The first thing I want you to learn this morning is the future is not uncertain to God. Right? The future is not uncertain to God. Right? He is the great shepherd. He controls the future. Beryl Markham is a writer, writes little quotes and stuff. And here's one of his quotes. It says, past years, right? Past years seem like safe ones, vanquished ones, while the future lives in a cloud, formidable from a distance. The cloud clears as you enter it. I have learned this, but like everyone, I learned it late. Right? I learned it late. Are you living like God is the great shepherd in control of the farm animals? Are you living like God is your great shepherd, controlling the farmyard, we could say? Are you living like God is in control of all the rams that could roam the earth, right? That look vicious, that look powerful? God is the good shepherd in control of those rams. Maybe you're not getting along with someone from school or from work or from your extended family. Maybe you're not sure about where you'll go to college or where you'll get your next job or how your retirement fund is going to withstand years of retirement. Right? All of those things, right, can weigh on us. But God is in control of the future, no matter what it looks like now. All of these earthly kingdoms, even, that we see now, all of these little earthly power brokers, you might say, right? Earthly power brokers, they actually don't really amount to much in the long run if they're just a farm animal, right? They're just a farm animal. So keep your eyes on the Good Shepherd instead. Right? Remember, it may look like scary beasts are rising up out of the sea, but to God, they're just pesky farm animals. Right? Just farm animals. God controls the future no matter what it looks like now. They're not monsters. Right? They're also not permanent. Right? Only temporary. So we come back to Daniel chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, and we read, as I was considering this ram, right? Behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal, and he ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns, and the ram had no power to stand before him. He cast him down to the ground and trampled on him, and there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great, but when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Now drop down to verse 21. We're going to read 21 and 22. It says, and the goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn between his eyes is the first king. As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others arose, four kingdoms shall arise from his nation, but not with his power. So it should be obvious that God knows the future, right? But keep in mind, God doesn't know the future because somehow he has looked down this tunnel of time and seen what was going to happen. No, God is the one who puts his plan into action, right? God is the one that's planning the future, controlling the future, reigning over the future. And here in Daniel 8, we see God revealing the future, right? Revealing his plan. Now, let's not forget, this is exactly what Daniel told us in chapter 2. This is exactly how Daniel praised the Lord in chapter 2 after the Lord had answered the exile's prayer to reveal the king's dream and the interpretation. Right in Daniel chapter 2, beginning of verse 19, it says, when the mystery was revealed, Daniel says this, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. The second thing I want you to see in Daniel chapter 8 this morning is that the removing of kings The setting up of kings is not just a sign of God's sovereignty. Right? It's not just a sign of God's sovereignty. It's a reminder that every earthly kingdom is temporary. Every earthly kingdom is temporary. And that the only lasting kingdom is the kingdom of God. Right? The stone made without hands that we saw again in Daniel chapter 2. That's because God controls the future, no matter what it looks like right now. And we can trust in God's plan to work for His glory. Always God's plan is working for His glory. Well, and also for our good. Let's not forget that. That's not a minor thing, right? It's for His glory and for our good. God is always working for the good of those who love Him, no matter what it looks like right now. Right? God is working for our good. I kind of feel like the application should be obvious here, right? Do you believe that God's kingdom will be the only everlasting kingdom? Do you believe that? Do you live like God's kingdom will be the only everlasting kingdom? Are you living in the present because you know what the future holds? Do you ever think that whatever's happening right now will never change? Or find yourself thinking that things will never change? Daniel 8 tells us that things are always changing. God has a plan and is marching towards Zion, right? It is marching towards glorious Zion coming. This is especially true, I think, for younger people. They can't imagine that things will ever be different than what they are right now. You know, our older people need to step in and say, oh, sweetie pie. You know, like, life will be so much different than what you ever expected it to be. Life is full of change. They haven't experienced it now, but some of us that are older have, and we know that life will not be the same. Are you stuck right now in a situation that you would like to see changed? Remember, God's kingdom is moving towards Zion. Things are on the move. Things will never be the same. Things will change. Go to the Lord and trust Him to change them at the right time, right? At the proper time, at the time that will glorify Him and be good for you. Well, even the security we find in Jesus sometimes can look pretty scary, right? I think, well, God has got this, but sometimes it still looks pretty scary. That's because God is in charge of history, not us. Right? We don't know what the future plan is exactly. Bits and pieces we have in Scripture, but not the full revelation of exactly what will happen. So, do you have a hard time trusting in God's plan? I do, especially when it doesn't quite look like I thought maybe it would look. Even if you're trying to, like, maybe you're in some trouble and you're trying to see, how's God going to get me out of this trouble? You might not like His answer. There was a man one day walking in a pitch black night. The moon was covered by the clouds. It was pretty dark. And he accidentally fell over the edge of a cliff. On the way down, he managed to grab hold of a small tree just sprouting out of the edge and saved himself. Desperately, he began to call out to someone he thought might be walking by, "Help, help." And when he hears a voice, "What do you want?" He says, "I'm stuck down here on the edge of the cliff holding on to a tree. I can't hold on much longer. Can you please help me?" "Yes," came the reply. "Well, by the way, who are you and what are you doing out here?" He says, "I'm God," replied the voice. "And what do you want me to do?" He says, "I want you to help me." "Okay, I'll help you." "Okay, well, what do I have to do to help you help me?" "Let go of the tree." For a while, there was silence, and then the man called out, "Is there anyone else up there?" I mean, who would want to do that? I mean, I don't know. There's no end of the story there. I'm sorry. Maybe, like, God knew that the cliff was only, like, another foot deep or something. I don't know. Is there anyone else up there? I think that's how we treat God sometimes, because we don't know the future. And so we do see these beasts coming out of the sea, and we forget to remember, right, that these are just farm animals to the Lord, and He is in charge of the farmyard, right? God controls the future no matter what it looks like now. We can trust Him with whatever is going on in your life, right? Whatever difficulty, go to the Lord and trust Him, right? These powers that we see are temporary, just temporary. God's plan includes the rise and fall of many nations. Many nations, some that would acknowledge God, some that don't. Right? Some nations that serve the Lord, others that refuse to serve anyone but themselves. But you know, all of those nations do have one thing in common. They are all temporary. Right? They are all temporary. God controls the future no matter what it looks like now. They're not monsters from God's perspective, just farm animals. They're not permanent from God's perspective, only temporary. And from God's perspective, He knows, without a doubt, they will not be victorious. Right? They will certainly be conquered, though. Certainly be conquered. We pick up in verse 9 of chapter 8, as Daniel's vision comes to a close here, it says, out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. That's Palestine, by the way, the glorious land. It grew great even to the host of heaven, and some of the host and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host, and the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. And a host will be given over to it, together with the regular burnt offering, because of transgression. And it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. And it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the one who spoke, for how long is the vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over of the sanctuary and host to be trampled underfoot? And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state. And then jump down to verse 23, and we'll read to the end. It says, and at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power, and he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. By his cunning he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind he shall become great. Without warning he shall destroy many, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. The vision of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true, but seal up the vision, for it refers to many days from now. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. There's actually two things going on here. Maybe it's actually better to describe it as one thing happening more than once. Right? One thing actually happening more than once. First, there is this description of a future troublemaker, right? That we know turns out to be Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He ruled from 175 to 164 BC. During that time period, there was a desecration of the temple of God as Antiochus tried to impose Greek culture on Palestine, right? And they desecrated the temple. But in our passage, there's also another king that will rise after this, one toward the end of the age, right, that will stand not just against God's people, but against God himself. This so-called king will seek to set himself up as God, and he will even appear to succeed at first. That's why we don't like the uncertainty of the future, right? Because we don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. We know that for now, though, evil will seem to thrive. Evil will seem to thrive. You can see that. And just watch the news. But Daniel 8 tells us it will not succeed. Right? Evil will not succeed. This little horn will not succeed. It will be destroyed. Right? We know that from the vision of the stone not made by human hands from Daniel chapter 2. These earthly kingdoms, all of them, right? All of them, they will not be victorious. Instead, they will be conquered by the stone not made by human hands, the everlasting kingdom of God, our Father in heaven. We know that because Christ was victorious at the cross. Just read any gospel, right? And you see that Christ was victorious. Of course, the final victory, right, is still in the future when Christ will return to take us home to be with him, right? We know that. But until then, we have to live in the darkness of these temporary kingdoms. Right? We have to live among the darkness of these temporary kingdoms, but we don't have to be part of the darkness. Right? You know, living in the darkness, though, is slippery, right? It's our last example, just say, you know, you got to be careful when you're living in the darkness. It's easy to fall victim to anxiety, to fear, to a sense of being paralyzed by the future, right? By the unknown. I mean, even for Daniel here, right? He was distraught. He says himself he was sick for some days as he dealt with a vision of the future which alarmed him, right? Which alarmed him. How was he able to get back to work? It's because Daniel's faith was tied to the sure promise of the rock made without hands, right? And so he's able to stand up and get back to work. F.B. Meyer wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. The Matterhorn is in the Alps between Switzerland and Italy. I had to look that up. It's 14,692 feet tall. The top is basically like a, I don't know if it's four-sided or three-sided piece of rock. I'm not sure how you do the last little bit there. Well, they hired three guides, right? And they began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order: guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. And they started up the hill. Well, the first man at the bottom lost his footing. I guess I should say the last man. That's a really great question. The last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a little toehold in the niches they had cut into the ice. But then suddenly the next man fell. And when he fell, he pulled another man down with him until only one man was left standing on the mountain. It was the first one. He had driven a spike deep into the ice, and because he held his ground, all the other men regained their footing and were able to continue their climb. Right? Now, the example there is that, you know, we are like those men, right, that slipped. We are like them, constantly slipping if we're not careful. But thanks be to the Lord God from heaven, when we're bound to Him, the living partner, right? Our living partner in Christ, He's the one that stands. He's the one that has the strong foothold. When we're clinging to Him, we are safe. We will not fall. When you're confronted with a future that seems uncertain, are you tied securely to Jesus Christ? Are you tied securely to the foundation of Jesus Christ? It's easy to slip over what you think might happen in the future. Right? You've got to be tied to Christ. I just couldn't help but think this week, though, but sometimes I wonder if we don't slip and fall over things that have happened in the past. Right? I know we're scared about the future, but we think about our past and we slip over things in our past. Right? I was thinking we also struggle with the idea of the future because things in the past. Now follow me just a little here. Daniel has had to deal with these different dreams, right? One of them wasn't even his own, right? But he had to deal with this dream. And all of these other visions that he's had before affect the next one. He sees one, it affects the way he sees the next one. He sees that one, and that affects the way he sees the other one. Now, this isn't directly connected probably in the passage here, but let me ask you. Do you see the future through the failures of your past? Right? Do you see the future through your failures of your past? When I ask you if you're tied securely to Jesus, that's one of the things I'm asking too, not just for future failures, but the fact that God is able to take care of those past failures too. When you're tied to Him and you've fallen before, He's there, right, to help you regain your footing. I'm not just asking if you see Jesus dealing with your future. He deals with your past. Don't let your past stop you from living in the present while you're waiting for the future. I think that happens to us a lot. We get wrapped up in our past. It stops us from living in the present as lights in this darkness because we're so afraid of the future. God wants each of us to live in the present, regardless of our past, regardless of the future. Live in the present, trusting that God can deal with that in the past. He can deal with this in the future. He can deal with what's going on now. Live in the present as lights that penetrate into the darkness. Now, all of these dreams and visions point to tribulation. They do, right? They point to tribulation over and over, unrest, earthly uncertainty. But they also point to this rock-solid promise, right? That God is in control of the future, no matter what it looks like now. God is in control of the future. What is your perspective on the future? Are there scary monsters out there or just farm animals? Is everything permanent or only temporary, right? All of that is true, right? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. For many of you, you love to be in the car, right? Watching the fences go by. And that's because, like our man in our initial story, you don't like to sit around. You don't like to sit around. That's me. I'd rather be in the car watching the fences go by. But for some, right, you love to sit by the road and watch the cars go by. And you get just as much enjoyment out of that as the other person. But listen, it is vitally important for everyone to have a perspective that is fully convinced that God is in control of the future, no matter what it looks like right now. Right? Whether you're sitting on the fence or whether you're traveling down the road, Jesus died that we would have life and have it abundantly now. Right? Living now as lights in the darkness. He died so that we could shine into the darkness. The darkness that will be temporarily here over and over until the end. The resurrection verifies that for us, right? Verifies that Christ is able to give us the power to live as lights in the darkness. There will be times when we're confronted by the future, right? And we may feel like Daniel, like we have to lay in our bed for a couple days to recover, overwhelmed, even sick to our stomach. When you feel that way, I want you to remember Daniel chapter 8, right? And remember, they're not scary monsters. They're just farm animals. They're not permanent kingdoms. They're just temporary trials. They're not victorious, these earthly power brokers, right? But they certainly will be conquered, have been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. May each of us live in a dark world like Daniel did, right? Not knowing exactly what the future was, but knowing that God was in control. Let's live that way. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that we would live as a people, knowing that no matter what things look like around us, that you are in control of our now. You are in control of the future. You are in control of your creation. We pray, Lord, that would give us boldness to speak the truth in love, to call our neighbors to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart and mind and soul, that we would be evangelists, that we'd be calling for revival, and that, Lord, we would not be distraught over the farm animals that think they're power brokers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close our time together by standing and singing a new hymn. So if you don't know it, just listen along and jump in when you're comfortable. It's hymn number 288. We have an anchor. Our anchor is the Lord. If we are tied to Him, we are safe. 288. Let's stand together. great reminder as you go out today that you have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast, steadfast in His love. Hear the Lord's benediction as you go. Now may God our Father, now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Amen.